And we're going to move on now with our second interview of the day. On November 13th, tomorrow, marks the 1 year since the arrest of Canadian Dr. Hassan Diab. Dr. Diab is wrongly accused by the French government of being responsible for an attack in France in 1980 based on faulty and inaccurate intelligence from 1999. Last month, Dr. Diab's lawyers presented part of their evidentiary report to the Ontario Superior Court regarding the unreliability of the French evidence against Dr. Diab. Joining me on the line to report back from the hearing is Rachel Anjorin, a longtime friend of Dr. Diab and part of the Hassan Diab Support Committee. Hello, Rachel.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good.
Thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to start, we've been following Hassan Diab's case here on News Now Thursday for a couple of months now. And but if you could just quickly remind our listeners of who Hassan Diab is and a bit about this case against him, the false allegations against him.
Yes, the history. He's a sociology professor living in Ottawa, and he was falsely accused by the French authorities of being responsible for an attack against a Paris synagogue in 1980. And he was arrested on November 13th by the RCMP in response to a request by France. He was initially denied bail, and then his initial bail hearing was quashed on constitutional grounds, and he was granted bail under very strict conditions in April 2009. In July, he was dismissed by Carleton University and lost his livelihood. He was dismissed without cause and seriously undermined his rights to presumption of innocence and crippling his ability to earn a livelihood. It breached a legally binding contract and contravened a collective agreement with the university faculty. His extradition hearing is set for January 2010, and he has an evidentiary hearing December 2nd and 3rd, where his lawyer will present. He'll be able to show the inherent unreliability of the evidence against Hassan.
And there's a lot of evidence that is contested in this case. It's there's handwriting samples, there's passport photos, and we talked about that a bit last time that we had done the interview and focused on him being fired from Carleton University. But in an update to the case on October 22nd and 23rd, Dr. Diab's lawyers were supposed to present evidentiary hearing to the Ontario Superior Court, but then the prosecution asked for a stay, and now you're saying that that will actually be taking place on December 2nd. But something did happen in the court at the end of October. Can you let us know where the case is in that sense?
Yes. His lawyer presented several reports to the court to read in advance of the postponed extradition hearing. Some of them were about the handwriting evidence, and some of them were about using intelligence as evidence. The handwriting, now you're actually getting a scoop here because nobody's gotten it right yet in the media. The handwriting evidence from France is fundamentally flawed. They, aside from having a very shabby analysis method, and most of the reports are about the method they used for their analysis, the kicker really is that there were specimens of what they presumed to be Hassan's handwriting for comparison, which actually belonged to someone else. So the interesting thing is that France actually claimed a match, which is impossible with their handwriting evidence. So their handwriting evidence is pretty much in question now. And then the rest of the reports were about the use of intelligence as courtroom evidence. All of the reports were collected from experts in France, England, Canada, and the United States.
And so in the... From the time that was allowed, I guess that was on October 22nd, this is what came out of it. Now on December 2nd, is there any other kind of evidence that will be contested in that hearing?
That we don't know. I encourage you to actually attend and hear what's said. I know about those two parts of evidence because they came out in the postponement on October 22nd.
Okay.
So, but...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I don't know if there's other parts that are coming out.
And so this is the evidentiary hearing side. And then in January, you had mentioned that there's going to be an extradition hearing. Can you tell us a bit about what that is and what the implications of that are for Dr. Diem?
Yes. France is asking Canada to hand him over to stand trial in France for this bombing. Unfortunately, the evidentiary standard for extradition is very, very low. So the Canadian judge only needs to determine if the evidence would merit a trial at all in Canada. And then he could be extradited on that basis. In France, they have special terrorism courts where they rely heavily on unverified, unchallengeable intelligence information, which plays a large part in this case. And it's a very aggressive prosecutorial approach. They have an inquisitorial system. It's held as a model for anti-terrorism. It's very efficient. And, you know, in a sense, you would feel secure in knowing that if there's a terrorist to be caught, you want them caught. But when you know the person caught up in this web and you see somebody you know to be innocent caught in this web, in this process, it takes on a different color. You start to see the dangers in that aggressive approach. He's not going to have in France much opportunity to challenge the evidence that's gathered to be used against him. And that's true also to a degree in that the extradition phase of things. So it's very, very heavily weighted against the accused in extradition phase because of the low standard for evidence, and then in the French legal system, which is held up as a model for anti-terrorism, very efficient model. So it's a very loaded situation. And like I said, that might be okay if the person's guilty, but when you know they're innocent, it's not so easy to watch that.
Mm-hmm. And Rachel, can you contextualize the case of Dr. Diab within the growing anti-Muslim racism in Canada that is seeing the detention, especially of Muslim men, without justification, such as Dr. Diab? So you know Dr. Diab personally, but I'm sure all these other men have friends that know them personally, know that they're innocent as well. But it seems to be a trend in this country. And so how does Dr. Diab fit into that kind of trend?
Well, there is a disturbing pattern of cases like this, and it's coming to a point where you have to basically look at this process that is so loaded and weigh that against the Charter of Rights and Freedoms and decide what's really important or what's acceptable. So usually in extradition cases, there's 95% of requested extraditions are granted. So you have to consider, where are you sending them to? If you're going to hand people over so easily, where are you sending them to? And is that a system that we can live with? You know, is that a circumstance that we can live with, handing someone over?
And Rachel, I wanted to ask you finally if you can let our listeners know how they can support Hassan Diab, and also if our listeners want to follow up on the case, they can obviously listen to CHRY. We will be bringing you an update from the extradition hearing and from the evidentiary hearing in January and December, but also where can they find out more information and how can they help out or support the case?
They can keep checking the website the support committee has up. It's called justiceforhassandiab.org. And on there's a button about how you can help, the ways that you can support him. They can reach the support committee directly if they want at diabsupport@gmail.com. And every little bit of help is helpful in this case. It's a very expensive endeavor when it's so heavily weighted against you. It is an uphill battle. And having lost his job, he can use every bit of help anybody can give him.
And Rachel, before we let you go, is there anything else you would like to add, if you want, on a more personal note or anything else about the case?
Well, I just hope people will keep their eyes open and think very carefully when they see cases like this happening. There is a presumption of guilt around. I see it in commentary of the public, in you know, in the tail end of articles and things. But people better really examine their own opinions and where they come from.
Rachel, thank you very much for joining us today on CHRY. We really do appreciate you coming in and telling us about the evidentiary hearing and also what is left to come in this, what seems to be an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Rachel and Ajourn, who is a close friend of Dr. Hassan Diab, and she was also has also been part of the support committee for Dr. Hassan Diab, and was speaking to us today about the recent evidentiary hearing in late October.